The world is a psychic phenomenon. In other words, we never experience it except psychically. We never experience it except as knowledge and perception. We never experience it except as a condition that includes us. We're not separate from it. What we are at the level of the psyche and at the level of consciousness is just as much an inherent part of the world as the material, so-called material objective forms. When we associate with the world on the basis of the totality of all the conditions of our existence, we participate in the world of forms as a psychic process. By participating psychically in the psychic phenomenon of the world, we learn the laws whereby we can influence the phenomena of the waking state. We generate a process wherein we can become sensitive to the phenomena of the waking state so that we can observe unusual coincidences of form, observe significances that our verbal mind tends to exclude from what we're observing. Now, if we examine the presumptions, cultural activities, and so forth of people involved in a magical point of view, a magical culture, such as mystics and psychics of a certain kind, or shamans, medicine men, and so forth, we find them all the time noticing in the features of the so-called objective world phenomena that correspond to psychic states. The things that they say they see in visions, they're also always seeing in the world. From the magician's point of view, the world is populated by psychically significant beings, forms, processes. The magician has a magical relationship to all the things that change, all the things that can change, all the things that can appear and disappear in the waking state are conceived and perceived as psychic phenomena, as magical phenomena. In the early years of my own sadhana, when I went from college and on to Stanford and was living on the beach, I was involved in a process of bare observation of all conditions that arose, whether they were internal and subjective or so-called objective in the world, whatever they were. I put myself in a position to unqualifiedly observe these things without bringing an attitude to them. Develop this capacity over time. Simply presumed the disposition of the observer and didn't presume a particular left brain or right brain dogma about the nature of things. Didn't presume any absolute distinction between internal and external, just allowed it to be whatever it was. Didn't presume there was a relation either. Just observed things as they were, and over time, the nature of things as they are began to become more and more obvious. But the process in which I was involved ultimately demonstrated to me that there was no distinction between the internal psychic subjective world, so-called, and the outer objective world. That all states were essentially psychic states, and they crossed over. In some sense, the waking state was effective on dreams and subtle psychic and hallucinatory activity. But the opposite was also true. Things that were going on in dreams and at a purely psychic level crossed over into the waking state, crossed over into the objective world of the waking state. A kind of story began to develop in which I would sometimes observe something in a dream or just a flash of consciousness, some sort of character or event or whatever. But I begin to observe the event being played out in the phenomena of my external life. The characters that were in this internal world were in the external world. Pieces of the events would be worked out in the external world and be carried over into the internal world. It was a single fluid psychic plastic. And as a result, the phenomena of the objective world began to achieve psychic force, became recognizable as states of the psyche, signs of the psyche. The beings in the objective world became psychically significant beings. I became sensitive to my daily life as a psychic process, even in the terms of simply perceiving objective events. A psychic unfolding was taking place, much as in dreams. I began to become sensitive to certain processes in the natural world, the so-called natural world, or objective or material world. Became sensitive, profoundly sensitive to them. Became able to read them, able to observe them, able to see dramas going on in the phenomenal world that from our ordinary verbal, self-abstracting, objectifying point of view would not be observable. So I achieved a kind of psychic inherence in world forces, forces of weather, natural phenomena, creatures of all kinds. Became unusually associated with certain animals. I've talked to you about the cats, for instance, and patterns in the natural world in terms of weather, the ocean. The ultimate outcome of this was a kind of awakening of a state of brilliant equanimity, awareness of the coincidence of all phenomena. In other words, this, the reality, the unkillable force of our essential existence, our very existence, our psychic existence, was proven, was demonstrated, was brought back to life in the face of all the things that suppress such a realization in the current context of human life. For an ordinary Western left brain character, you see, to go and do yoga and perform various disciplines and so forth, it would not necessarily be any comparable awakening. One must awaken from the suppressed state of the being, transcend the dogmas that suppress it in the common world, and rediscover the psychic nature of the world, rediscover your own existence as a psychic process that doesn't come to an end simply because one feature of your existence comes to an end, physical, bodily manifestation, which is not threatened by the apparent limitations of the physical world. This coming to the front of the psychic being, the essential character of your own existence, is a necessary preliminary for the spiritual process. Another vision of existence, in other words, another model of existence, must achieve reality in order for the spiritual process to be true, in order for it to be anything more than a consolation for you and your mortal understanding. All the things that can develop through the spiritual process will seem unreal to you unless you can achieve the point of view in which such phenomena are real, in which they are comprehensible. Otherwise, you can have unusual experiences by disciplining the body and concentrating yourself in a certain way. But it'll always be doubtful to you. You'll always be able to explain it, would seem, in some sort of scientific terms, using the ordinary mortal model of the nervous system and so forth. So no great change will have occurred, you see. You will just made your mortality a little more elaborate, a little more complicated, a little more showy. You'll be essentially in the same condition, the same disposition as you were at the beginning. Unless you can pass through this crisis in which the psyche ceases to be dominated by the phenomenal world, which is proposed to be the only reality by the dogmas of our time. The cosmos is a living process. A little while ago we were talking about accepting the positive significance as well as the magical significance of creatures other than man and plant life and so forth. Well, inanimate, so-called inanimate objects were also conceived as being living and participating in a living, magical cosmos. And this is certainly true. The more psychically awake you become, the more you are aware of the psychophysical nature of what you call the objective world. And once you see that it is psychophysical in nature, you begin to appreciate the living condition of everything that arises in the field of experience. Not living perhaps in the sense that a chair can get up and walk out of the room, but living in a magical sense. Your association with so-called inanimate objects can go through many changes. Association with an inanimate place, this is just a room, can change their feelings associated with it, sense of energies, emotions, moods, influences, all kinds of things you become sensitive to relative to so-called inanimate things, just as you can relative to moving and living things. It's not that you should just arbitrarily take up a view that everything is alive, sort of like everything's a creature, but just you must develop and mature in your psychic sensitivity to things, and then begin to appreciate just in what sense everything is alive, and in what sense everything has an effect of a kind, and it needs to be acknowledged as a force. Living things are significant to us because there is a force associated with living. But inanimate things are living also in the sense that there's a force associated with them. They're living in this sense rather than in the sense they can move around. Well, perhaps they can also move around. This is not totally out of the question, but it has to be observed to be presumed. But at any rate, they are alive as forces and influences. And the forces can change and vary in a association with something inanimate. So this is part of the magical consciousness that is natural to us, to awaken to the sense of the total cosmos as a living presence, a circumstance of forces. The root of all these things, animate and inanimate, is radiant being and utterly living, conscious reality. Inanimate things, lower creatures, man, nature, the earth, everything is a modification of that which is ultimately perfectly alive, radiant, forceful, conscious, existing.